He received the absolute best education. He had everything that money could buy. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh of the most cultured, the most educated, the most powerful, and the most wealthy nation on the planet at that time.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, happy Friday, and welcome to Love Never Fails. In Pastor Bill's continuing study of the Epistle of Hebrews, we have to admire the faith of the patriarchs. They did not have a complete Bible, yet their faith was strong. These men believed God, and he bore witness to their faith. So let's join Pastor with today's message, What Moses Chose.
This morning, as we enter into, well, we're really closing out, if you will, we probably have, the Lord willing, maybe one more sermon in the Hall of Fame of Faith. But you know, when we look at our text this morning, we're going to look at what Moses chose. And we should be with the same heart set and choose the same things that he chose in our life. And so remember that Hebrews, especially chapter 11, when we entered in, it tells us that there's only one way for a Christian to live, and that is the just shall live by faith. Amen? Now this morning, before we look at Moses, because that's our main text, we're going to look at Abraham and then his son and his grandson, and then his great-grandson. So that would be, of course, Isaac, and then ending there with Joseph, if you will. And they have something in common as we begin our study. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them because I want to get to Moses. But they have one thing in common besides just being family and so forth and all of them loving the Lord. They, each of them, the patriarchs, they all died in faith, each one of them. They didn't die in doubt, they died in faith. And they died believing, even though they had never ever owned, if you will, the promised land, never inherited it totally. That doesn't happen until Joshua's day. And so they still believed, and they all died in faith believing. Now, it says in chapter 11 of verse 13 there, let me read it to you about them, what they all had in common. It says, these all died in what? They all died in faith, meaning Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, all of them now. But they had not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, even though God never told them how his promises was going to be fulfilled. And they embraced them, meaning they embraced them as their truth, the true reality in their heart, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So all of these that we're going to look at quickly, their faith went way past death. Man, listen, they believed the promises of God. They did not die again in doubt. They died in peace. They never doubted God's promises. They all knew that they were going to come to pass. And what's interesting about from Abraham, which we covered last time, all the way down to Joseph, is it's dealing with parents and their children. Very interesting verses here. So let's begin this morning before we get into what Moses chose. And let's look at, it says in verse 20, it says, and by faith Isaac, now that's the son, of course, of Abraham, the promised son, okay? It says, by faith Isaac, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to what? Meaning things that are coming into the future. Now, this is like a vacation Bible school study right here, okay? In other words, this is kids' church. We all know that Jacob, was Jacob a mama's boy? Okay, and Esau was a daddy's boy. There you go. So if you study out later, Genesis 27, chapter 27, 28 through 40, you'll find the record there of the things to come. And Isaac prays over these two boys. And believe it or not, remember now, I don't know if you remember this, but they were the first twins in the Bible. Remember? Yes. And so Jacob, of course, is the younger. He's going to be, though, the master over his brother. And Esau, who is the firstborn or the older, he's going to he's going to live by the sword, and he's going to serve his brother. So Isaac had prayed over them. But really, Rebecca, before they were ever born, Rebecca, the mother of the two boys, God had already told her the future of her two sons while they were still, when she was pregnant with them, okay? While they were still in the womb. Let me read it to you from Genesis 25, 23. The Lord spoke unto Rebecca and said, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. That'll be, of course, Israel. And from Esau comes the godless Edomites, okay? And he says, one people will be stronger than the other, and the older, which would be Esau, the older shall serve the younger. You know what's amazing about that scripture? Is that God knew everything. Of course, God does know everything, right? You know, that should make pro-abortion people scared to death, don't you think? I mean, Lord, I mean, those children, they have a future, they have a destiny. And God knows it. Amen? Now, so Esau, remember what he did quickly? He sold his birthright. What did he sell it for? A bowl of beans. There you go. Corned beef and hash, you know? No, you know, that red stew. He sold it to Jacob. And so Jacob, of course, you know, it says in Hebrews 12, 16, we'll study later about Esau, that he sold his birthright. Now, Isaac, who, of course, one of the patriarchs there, you know, he lived longer than any of the others. The Bible says in Genesis 35, 28, the days of Isaac were 180 years, and he breathed his last, and he died, and he was gathered to his people. Now, let's look at the faith of Jacob here. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, so see, there's the commonality, the thread. When he was dying, look what he did. He blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He worshiped. He was leaning on the top of his staff. Did you know that the God of all grace, and Jacob, boy, if he needed grace, there was one who needed it, right? The God of all grace calls himself the God of Jacob more than the God of Abraham in Scripture. Can you believe that? Over seven, maybe 70 times at least, I believe it is, that he does so. So from Jacob, remember Jacob and his wives? Remember Jacob labored for who? Rachel and Leah, okay? And then, of course, then you know, all the problems with the women there, and then he married Bilha and Zilla and Godzilla and all the rest of them. You know, I mean, I'm joking, but he did, because there was such a jealousy among the women. And from him came the 12 tribes of Israel, amen? The nation of Israel, so all of his sons. So nothing is said here about his faith, nothing about Jacob's ladder. Nothing about him wrestling with God. It's silent about that. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he did something. He blessed, he worshiped, and he did so while he was leaning on the top of his staff. It says in Genesis 47, 29, quickly, let me read. It says, when the time drew near for Israel that he must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if I found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh, deal kindly and truly with me. And here's what he says, please don't bury me in Egypt. Remember, Jacob and his family now were in Egypt. And he says, but let me die with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burial place. And he said, I will do as you said. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want you to do a Bible study sometime this week, maybe this afternoon, and I want you to read all of Genesis 49, Jacob's last words. Man, listen, the prophecies that come from his deathbed to each of his children is just unbelievable. And so he gathers all of his sons together, and he tells them by the power of the Spirit of God what's going to befall them in the last days, okay? But I don't have time to cover that. But it does say in Genesis 49, 33, when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed, or the Septuagint says he's leaning on his staff, and then he gets into the bed, if you will, and he breathed his last, was gathered to his people. Genesis 50, verse 1, then Joseph, his son, fell on his father's face, and he wept over him and kissed him. So all the children of Jacob were around him as he tells them the future, and he died in faith. I want to encourage you to do something else. I want you to read later on Genesis chapter 50, verses 1 through 14, and you will see his funeral procession from Egypt into the land of Canaan It is just, it's unbelievable. Matter of fact, when you study that out, I want you to remember this, that it is the first full description of a funeral found in God's Word. And it's amazing how he was honored. Now, we're going to go from Jacob's staff to bones. Look at verse 22. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, again, there's that common thread. This is all about when the patriarchs are dying. It made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his what? Now, isn't that unbelievable? I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, Joseph, remember, he was 16, 17 years old. He was his daddy's favorite, of course. His brothers didn't like him at all because Joseph was a dreamer, and they sold him. Remember, they put him in the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar there in Egypt. He went into prison. He went from the prison to the palace. What a great, incredible story that is. And man, did he save Egypt? He saved, really, that was called the world. He saved the world and brought his own family down to Egypt and so forth. Now, he spent the rest of his life from 17 years of age until he died in Egypt. He never, ever returned to Canaan, the land of promise. Now, but Joseph, one of the great men of God, not only did he die in faith, but by faith he spoke of his brothers, of their departure and the end of their future. Let me read it to you in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will visit you, surely visit you, and he will bring you out of this land. He's going to bring you out of Egypt. And he says, to the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Joseph, he died in faith. Listen to his last dying request, Genesis 50, verse 25. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, now listen, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here. You take my bones out of Egypt. Don't you dare leave them here, in other words. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him. That was the Egyptian way. And he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now listen carefully. 100 years later, what happened to his bones? Whenever Moses came along, Moses took his bones along with all the children of Israel, and he took them when they fled Egypt. You can find that in Exodus 13, 19. Moses and the children of Israel, they took and carried his bones for 40 years in the wilderness. Finally, Joshua, when he went in to take the promised land, and after all that was over with, he had the bones as well. And guess what Joseph finally did? In Joshua 24, 32, he would bury the bones of Joseph there. So we have three deaths, and now we move to one birth. That is our main text this morning. Now listen very carefully. We're going to leave dying in faith, and that's important, to die in faith. Amen? You know, we should all die in peace. We don't have to be afraid of death because Jesus conquered death for us. Amen? And we're not going to die. We have eternal life. We have it right this minute. To be absent from the body is immediately to be present with the Lord. Amen? Yes, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. And our bodies are going to be very nice. Amen? Oh, yeah. And I am ready for that. Now, with all that being said, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's only one way for a Christian to live, and that is by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we all make choices in our life. The first man to make a choice in the entire world, the very first man, what was his name? Adam. Did he make a good decision? Did he make a good choice? No. Listen, life, you've heard me say it many times, life is A, birth, to B, death, and all the junk in between, okay? And between A and B in our life, every day, you know it, I know it, is full of decisions and full of choices. And every choice that we make always has an end result. You say, well, I'm not going to make a decision. I'm not going to make a choice. Well, you already did. Do you understand? Yeah. Listen, see, choices do something. Choices that we make are revealers, okay? They reveal our fear. They reveal our faith. They reveal how we live and what we truly hold dear to our hearts. Maxwell said this, life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you. Very good word. Now let's look at what Moses chose beginning in verse 23. And he did it by faith, loved one. He says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Now, that would be Amram and Jehochabed, remember? But look why he was hidden. It says, because they saw he was a beautiful child. Isn't that amazing? He was a beautiful child. Do you know that word is only found right here? And in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, in Stephen's speech, when he says Moses was to God very beautiful, very special, okay? It says, so he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. So we begin with the faith here, not concerning Moses, his birth, yes, but the faith of his mother and the faith of his father, or you could say his parents. Now, remember, were they in bondage in Egypt? Yes, absolutely. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, think about Moses for a moment, or any of us. How fortunate to be born into a family that loves God, that loves Jesus, amen? But not only that, I mean, think about this. He had a believing mother and father who obviously had some sort of spiritual discernment. Because they said, they looked at, look at it now, he hit him. Why did he do that? Because he was a beautiful child. Well, what, they looked at him, they go, ooh, he's so pretty. No, is that what that means? No. You know, I mean, all babies do, you never say that's an ugly baby. No, you don't do that. No, you say, no, that's a beautiful child. So what was it? Maybe God spoke to them. We're not recorded here. I mean, faith cometh by hearing, by hearing the word of God. Maybe God gave them a rhema word, you know, or we don't know. But we know one thing. They knew there was something different about this child. Did they have other children already? Miriam, remember, the sister, and Aaron, the older brother. So he was the baby of the bunch, all right? Now, with all that being said, they knew there was something special about him, so they hid him. But let's listen to why they hid him. It says, because they were not afraid of the king's command. It says in Exodus 1:22, so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, now listen, every son who is born to you, you shall cast into the river, into the Nile River. He says, and every daughter you shall save alive. So Pharaoh, what did he do? He was worried because, see, all of a sudden, there were Hebrew children, the children of Israel, they were multiplying. They were all over the land. He was afraid of them because they outnumbered Egypt. And he says, I'm commanding all my people to be baby killers. Remember the Hebrew midwives? They should be in the Hall of Fame of Faith because you know what they did? They wouldn't kill. They didn't obey the king, did they? No. No, not at all. They should be right here. Now listen, Moses' parents, by faith, they were not afraid of the king's command. So what did they do? Well, they made a choice. They chose something. They made a decision, and they did so by faith. Can I tell you that not just all those thousands of years ago, parents, we need fearless, faithful parents today. Amen. Yes, we need them right this minute. So this king who arose that didn't know Joseph, remember, if you've studied out, we know that by heart almost. He is the one who ordered the killing of all the male children. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 with me. And let's just read the story. It says, and a man of the house of Levi, so they were both Levites, by the way, the priestly line, they went and took a wife, the daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw, I didn't say the husband, but when she saw that he, that's Moses, was a beautiful child. Now I'm going to ask you a question. We're in Exodus chapter 2. Who wrote the book of Exodus? Moses. All right. I don't want to say anything else. He was a beautiful child. Look what she did. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, when it was no longer safe, she didn't walk in fear. She walked in faith. She made a choice. And I'm going to tell you something. It takes faith to take a 3-month-old baby and put it in a basket and float it down the Nile. Amen? And look what she did. She could no longer hide him, so she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch. That's like a miniature Noah's Ark, isn't it? And it says she put the child in it, laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now, that's where all the little baby boys were being murdered, remember? Drowned. And his sister, now that's Miriam, now she was watching the whole thing. She stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion upon him. So that probably that beautiful baby, Moses, just melted her heart. It's like love at first sight, right? And he said, oh, look what she said. This is one of the Hebrew children. This is one of the ones my daddy wants to kill. You know, hello, y'all with me? Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Pharaoh's daughter didn't know who Miriam was. Shall I go and call a nurse for you from among the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, man, what a great idea, right? She said, yeah, go. So the maiden went, and who did she call? She called Moses' mother. How cool is that? Did Pharaoh's daughter know that? No, she had no clue. So she calls the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, oh, take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. I'm going to tell you something. Is that a great story? I mean, listen, by faith she did that, and she had no idea, but by faith, she just sent the child away. Said, Lord, this is a beautiful child. There's something on him. There's some kind of calling. And just floated him right there. And what did God do? God brought baby Moses. Who named baby Moses? Pharaoh's daughter, remember, not Jehochabed, his mother. Now listen, put him in the finest house in all of the world at that time. In Pharaoh's house, or in the palace. Are you understanding? That's what God did. And listen, we know that Pharaoh's daughter adopted him, and God used his daughter, all of them, to defeat the Pharaoh. You follow me? And I mean, think about this. Adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, protected by the man who wanted him dead, and then all of a sudden nursed by his own mother, and she gets paid for it. Now, that is what you call incredible. But I want you to see something else. Moses' mother, who nursed him now, because she was going to nurse him and then turn him over as he started growing up, then she would turn him over to Pharaoh's daughter. She did more than just nurse Moses. She told him, I know, she had to have, about the commandments of God, the promises of God, the land of Canaan, and about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth. So look at verse 24 now of Hebrews 11. It says, now by faith, Moses, when he became of age, after he had grown up, he was 40 years old, he came of age. Look what he did. He refused to be called son, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. He was a prince of Egypt, do you understand? For 40 years. Josephus says that Pharaoh, he had no sons. All of his wives, they all produced daughters, okay? So here, when you think about this prince of Egypt for 40 years, or he was there since his birth, loved one, listen, did he have it all? You better believe he did. Listen, you go back and study history about Egypt. He received the absolute best education. He had everything that money could buy. He was in line to be the next pharaoh, and he was the next pharaoh of the most cultured, the most educated, the most powerful, and the most wealthy nation on the planet at that time, okay? And it says there he did something. What did Moses choose? Well, what Moses chose was this. He made an absolute deliberate decision, a deliberate choice concerning his future. That is a very important word. He says right there, he did something. He was 40 years of age, and he looked all around and he says, I refuse from this moment on. For 40 years, I have been called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And you know what? I am not your son. And so he says, I refuse. That word means I absolutely renounce. I absolutely reject to be called your son. So Moses was back and forth. Am I an Egyptian or am I a Hebrew? You follow me? And he made a deliberate choice. Now, question. Our world today, and even then, would you say that he's at the top of his game? He's at the top of the world? I mean, he's won the lottery. Hello? You know, he scratched it or whatever you do. Is that how you do it? I mean, think about it, loved one. We would say today, okay, wait a minute. You're going to walk away from that?
Faith can operate in the life of any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. Amen? Pastor will complete today's message when we return on Monday, and we trust you'll tune in once again. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll look for you again on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.